Marriage Today presents Understanding the Reasons for Difficult Seasons by Jimmy Evans.
I want to begin this series. This will not be 5 weeks in a row, but this is a five-week series that I'm preaching on how to think when life stinks. Sometimes life stinks, you know, go through hard times. And in those times, we're the most compromised in our ability to think correctly. We typically make the poorest decisions when we're under pressure. We make the poorest decisions when we're very emotionally involved and we're going through difficult times. It's the most important time, though, for us to make right decisions. When I started praying about this series, I was praying one morning and I was just asking the Lord to speak to me. And the Lord said this, I want you to encourage my people. I want you to encourage them because a lot of people are going through tough times. It may be physically, it may be in your marriage, it might be in your finances or in your job or just in your ministry or something like that. You're going through tough times. And I'm bringing these messages to encourage you, but to also to help you to learn to think correctly under pressure and when you're going through tough times. So this is 2 Timothy chapter 4, where I ask you to turn. And the title of this sermon now is Understanding the Reasons for Difficult Seasons. When you're going through a difficult season in your life, is sometimes we can get angry at God, sometimes we can get angry at ourselves or others or feel condemned, but there are reasons for difficult seasons, and when we understand them, it can cause those seasons to go away and for a better season to come. 2 Timothy 4, this is Paul's last book. He's toward the end of his life. He's in prison, and he's writing to his beloved spiritual son, Timothy. And he says, I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom, preach the word, be ready in season and out of season. And that's where I'm going to focus the message right there, being ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and teaching, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. I believe we're living in that day, don't you? But you be watchful in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, and fulfill your ministry. Paul is trying to help Timothy to prepare for the inevitable difficulties of ministry. Paul has been through it. He knows that Timothy is also going to go through some things, and he's just trying to prepare him here for the realities of ministry and life. But also, he's telling him about spiritual seasons. He says in verse 2, be ready, and that word means be instant. Be absolutely ready. Be on your toes, regardless of what the season is. And he says here, in season and out of season, it means good times and bad times. But when you speak about seasons, sometimes us city folk don't understand, but country folk do. When you're talking about out of season, you're talking about wintertime. Because in the spring, you're plowing and planting. In the summer, you're tending. In the fall, you're harvesting. In the winter, you're resting. That's out of season. And what the Apostle Paul is saying here is, Timothy, you're going to have some winter times that come in your life. You're going to have some difficult seasons that come. But when they come, don't give up. Don't get mad. Don't get sad. Don't get lazy. Don't lay down your armor. You be ready. Whatever the season is in your life, Timothy, you be ready. I'm telling you, it's going to happen, and you've got to prepare yourself for it. Now, let me talk about spiritual seasons for just a minute. And let me say, in my life, in my spiritual life, I've walked with the Lord for 35 years. I've had a lot of different seasons, some good seasons and some difficult seasons in my life. I know some of you, all of you have also, I'm sure, and some of you are going through a difficult season right now. They are not chronologically cyclical. They're not like physical seasons. We know that there's spring, summer, fall, and winter, but that's not the way it is in spiritual seasons. Spiritual seasons can be summer, winter, fall, spring, winter. It doesn't have to be chronologically cyclical like regular seasons. Also, in spiritual seasons, you can have a season that lasts for a very, very long period of time and another one that doesn't last but just for a few days. How many of you want to live a life where you have long, good seasons in your life? And when the bad seasons come, they come and go. You can't. And this is what this message is about this morning. We can make decisions that cause the bad seasons to come and go quickly and for the good seasons to come and stay. And this is the encouragement of this message. But let me say this now, because we all need to understand, all seasons that come into our lives, God either causes them or he allows them. You need to think this through in your life to understand every single thing, every person, every event in our lives is either caused or allowed by God. And we need to think that through. I had a friend of mine that was going through an extremely difficult situation with a very evil person. And this evil person for years was trying to harm my friend. And I can't go into the details because it's a very private matter, but I was involved because he called me in just as a confidant or early in the process of what was going on. And I'm telling you, it was bizarre what this individual was trying to do to my friend. This went on for years. And one day he called me, and it had gotten to a really, really bad place. And he called me, and it was he and his wife. And they said, "Will you go to the lawyer's office with us?" Because it was getting legal in a very serious manner. I said, "Yes." We drove up to the lawyer's office together. And it was just real somber. We were all in kind of a war mode because I knew they were right. My friend was absolutely innocent in every way in this circumstance. His wife was devastated, as every wife can understand, about what this person was trying to do to him. And we sit down with the lawyer, and this lawyer, very, very good spirit-filled lawyer. And I tell you, there are a lot of good spirit-filled lawyers out there. When you need a lawyer, get a spirit-filled lawyer. There are a lot of good ones out there. And so we sit down across from this lawyer. He was a lot more calm than we were, and we kept trying to upset him when we couldn't. Have you ever been, you're trying to upset somebody because they're way too calm? We were so upset. We were very, very upset. And we kept telling him what was going on, and he knew a lot of it already. And as we were telling the story, he was like, yeah, like that. And so I could just tell he wasn't going to get upset. So finally he smiled and kind of leaned up. We were at a conference table, and he leaned up across the table, and he said, "I wonder," and he looked at my friend straight in the face. He said, "I wonder why God would allow this to happen. I wonder why God would allow this to happen." And he proceeded as a lawyer to preach to us for about 20 minutes. I told him at the end of the meeting, I said, "You're not a lawyer, you're an evangelist. You need to poof up your hair and get you a silk scarf. You need..." I've never had a lawyer preach to me like that before. But he leaned up across the table and he said, "There's a reason that God allowed this to happen. And we understand the legalities involved here, but what I want to get down to is, why did God let this happen?" And for the next 20 minutes, the fog lifted, and we left that meeting feeling as though that the weight of the world had been lifted off our shoulders and God had showed up and everything was okay, and to this day it's been okay. It hadn't come back again because something happened. Well, so I'm going to talk to you for just a minute. Let me be the lawyer, okay? I wonder why God would allow this situation in your life. Because he did. I'm not saying he caused it. When a difficult season comes into our lives, I'm not saying that God caused it, but he had to have allowed it. And he had to have allowed it for a reason, because the Bible says all things work together for good to those who love the Lord. You believe that? And it doesn't mean that everything in our lives is always pleasant or necessarily good, but it means when God allows something to come into our lives, there's a positive reason for it, including seasons. Let me describe for you just a minute the four spiritual seasons, because they parallel the four seasons of our weather. Spiritual spring is newness, freshness, excitement, new growth, revival, great, great season. Spiritual summer, abundance, maturity, freedom, harvest, joy, dreams are realized, everything's blooming, everything's great. This is the way you wanted it. Spiritual autumn, transition, caution, lack of growth, even a loss of what you had before. Leaves start falling, things start turning different colors. Spiritual fatigue, anxiety, and uncertainty about the future. Spiritual winter is difficulty, pruning, vision changes, discouragement, restriction, severity, and even death. Spiritual winter. All seasons have their own purposes. and really even their own beauty. But because of the specific dangers of spiritual winter that Paul was warning Timothy about and that we all experience, this is where I want to focus this morning. And in my life, over the last 35 years of serving the Lord, I've been through some bad seasons, some winter seasons, and the first ones almost killed me because of anger at God, anger at myself, anger at others, condemnation, regret, and all the things that just overwhelmed me until I learned when spiritual winter comes, there's a reason why God allowed it, and He's just looking for a certain response from us. See, if we don't respond to spiritual winter properly, it stays until it has its effect. It stays longer than it should, and it can cause damage. But when we respond properly, it goes away because there's a reason God sent it. And when that reason is fulfilled, it goes away. Let me talk about the four positive purposes of spiritual winter. I want to help you to look at difficult times in a different way. These are the four positive things about spiritual winter that when God allows it in our lives, these are some of the things He's trying to accomplish. Number one, purpose of spiritual winter is it kills the bugs of the past and keeps them from affecting the next year's harvest. Killing bugs. We have a lot of good farmers here in the congregation. I was greeting one day by the door, and one of our farmers came in. He lived, I think, up around Dumas. He walked in the door one day, and it had been a very warm winter, like this winter has been, unusually warm. And he walked in the door, and being a city boy, you know, I just kind of patted him on the back, and I said, "Hasn't this been an awesome winter? So warm?" And he said, "Been terrible. Terrible," just like that. And I said, "Why has it been terrible?" He said, "Not cold enough, not cold enough. We're going to fight bugs all summer long because we need a cold winter. Cold winter kills the bugs." Winter is a biological firewall between growing seasons. Fruit and bugs grow together. And once the harvest comes in, you have to kill the bugs before God will allow another crop. In the good times, we get sloppy. In the good times, we allow sin into our lives and habits and thoughts and compromises. When God blesses us and we're living in the springs and the summers of life, yes, the fruit is growing, but the bugs always grow along with the fruit. Someone told me one time related to ministry, the light attracts bugs. And all of you have gone out at night and you turned on a light, here come the bugs. Your life for Christ attracts bugs. It attracts the presence of the devil. And even though we might fight against it, in the good times, we have a tendency to get a little sloppy. And so here's what God does in His love. God comes to us and He says, "Honey, I love you, and I still have a purpose for your life. My plan for you is still true, and I have a wonderful destiny for you, and I'm going to lead you now into a new season of fruitfulness, but we got some bug killing to do." Let me tell you something. Insecticide, it doesn't do the job that winter will do, because insecticide kills a few bugs out in this realm, but winter goes deep into the ground and kills the larva that's laying down there dormant. And you can try to use your own methods to deal with sin, but God has His own method. It's called winter. It kills those bugs. Sin, unhealthy, immature behavior, compromise. Those are the bugs that grow along with the fruit. And here's what Jesus said in John 15. "I am the true vine. My Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, He takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, He prunes, that it may bear more fruit." Jesus said in John 15:8, "By this is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciple." Sometimes we miss the storyline. We get the storyline wrong. But let me tell you the storyline. You live to bear fruit for God, period. Remember that. Regardless of why you think you're here on this earth, the reason that He thinks you're here is to bear fruit for Him. And Jesus said, "By this is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. Every branch that will not bear fruit, I take it away. But every branch that's bearing fruit, I prune it that it will bear more fruit." And if you're bearing fruit for God, what it means is God still comes and inspects the areas of our lives that are compromising fruit, that are compromising fruit for Him. You're not living to make money. You're not living to save up for retirement. You're not living to enjoy pleasures in this life. You're living for God. And I'm saying that's what He thinks. That's His perspective. And so when we get into a spiritual winter, a lot of times we just go into this little hissy fit. And we just kind of melt down because it's like everything that we're living for is falling apart around us. And let me just for just a minute, I'm going to play God for just a minute. I've tried for years unsuccessfully. Let me try one more time. That was a joke, but never mind now. It's way too late. But, okay, you're going to be you and I'm going to be God here for just a minute, okay? And you're going through your hard season and you're crying and spitting and just really going through a hard time. You're going through a lot of self-condemnation and anger and why me and all those kinds of things like that. And I'm going to play God here for just a minute. And I'm going to talk to you, okay? So listen to me. Honey, I love you. I love you. I know it's gotten cold all of a sudden and things aren't going the way you want to. And I know you're frustrated and you feel condemned and there's a lot of regret that you're living with and you just kind of wonder what's going on. Honey, I'm just trying to kill a few bugs. That's all I'm trying to do. If you'll just let me have the bugs, you can go on to spring. I don't want to keep you here anymore. I'm just trying to kill some bugs. Honey, would you just let those bugs go? That's all I'm trying to do. The next season of your life is the greatest fruitfulness and blessing that you've ever experienced. But honey, if I don't kill the bugs, they're going to kill the crop. Every spiritual winter that I've ever been through has preceded the greatest time of blessing and fruitfulness I've ever experienced in my life. And if God wouldn't have killed the bugs, they would have killed the next crop. Winter is a biological firewall between growing seasons. And fruit and bugs grow together. And once you've harvested the harvest, you have to kill the bugs before God will allow you another crop. And I'm saying to you right now, there may be some things in your life that God is after, some attitudes, some sins. In my life, when I look back at all the spiritual winters that I've been through, one of the things that God tried to kill in me constantly and has is fear. Fear of man, fear of rejection, fear of failure. I think the fear of man has been my number one fear in life. And along with that goes fear of rejection, fear of failure, and all of that. Spiritual winter has been terrible on that sin in my life. Misconceptions about God, not understanding His love, not understanding His intimate love for me. Remember the book of Job, that Job went through a bad winter, and at the end of the book of Job, he said, "Before I heard about you, now I know you." And sometimes the worst things that we go through in life are the times that we meet God the closest, aren't they? Performance. This is another issue that God's dealt with me about. It's thinking it's all about me and what I do and not understanding His grace and His power. Spiritual laziness, moral compromise, unforgiveness, mistreatment of others, marriage and family issues that we won't deal with, rebellion toward authority, abuse of authority. All of those things are bugs that threaten the fruitfulness in our lives. And I want to say it one more time. Regardless of why you think you're here to bear fruit for God. And He says, every branch in me that bears fruit, I come and prune it, that it may bear more fruit. So I'm saying, don't cry. Don't give up. Don't think that God hates you because you're the apple of His eye. He's just trying to get more fruit out of you, and He understands that these bugs threaten the harvest. Are you listening to what I'm saying to you this morning? I'm talking right straight at you. He loves you. And He wants you to bear the ultimate amount of fruit for Him. And that's what this is about. The second wonderful thing about spiritual winter is that winter clearly distinguishes the annuals from the perennials. Now, again, I'm a city boy. And if you come to me, I'm not a gardener or anything like that. If you came to me and we were standing in front of a garden and you said, "Jimmy, what are the annuals in that garden? And what are the perennials in that garden?" In other words, the annuals are, they're just for 1 year and then they die. The perennials is they come back every year. What are the annuals and the perennials? And I say, come in the middle of winter and I'll tell you. Because I'm a city boy and I don't know. But all I can tell you is this, winter will tell you. Winter will tell you. And you say, "Well, Jimmy, what are you talking about?" I'm talking about people. I'm talking about the people in our lives. You know, the annuals a lot of times are prettier than the perennials. A smart gardener always structures a garden around the perennials, though. You put the hedges and bushes and trees as really the structure of the garden because they're going to be here from now on. It's just not smart to structure something around something that's not going to be here very long. And so you structure a garden around the perennials and then you sprinkle the annuals. They're the pretty flowers and things like that. You sprinkle the annuals around the front, but they're going to die and you're going to have to buy them again. But the perennials are the ones that stay there. It's easier to take the perennials for granted because sometimes they're not quite as flashy, but they're there every year and you need to appreciate them. And so in life, we need to love everybody. We need to be kind to everybody. But see, a lot of times what we do is that we want to look at people from the outside of how good looking they are, how much money they have, the position they have. And we look at, say, that I want one of them. I want that person. I want that person in my life. I want that person to be close to me. I want to be associated with that person. And if we would listen, the Holy Spirit would say to us, no, that's not the person I have for you. They're an annual. They will not be faithful to you. Let me tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. You can't build your life around undependable people. It'll break your heart. I want to be careful in telling this next story because I just don't want to be self-righteous about it. I feel sorry for him. Bristol Palin, Sarah Palin's daughter, you remember, Sarah Palin was the Republican vice presidential candidate in the last election. Her daughter, Bristol, became pregnant during that time, became very public with her boyfriend. They've now broken up. And there was a statistic that came out this week that said we're in a baby boom in America, but 4 out of 10 children are being born out of wedlock. And a lot of young girls and young boys are, I think, guiltier than the young girls. So I'm not trying to pick on the girls. I'm just saying a lot of girls look at a young man and they think, you know, he's cute, I like him. And they become too intimate too quickly trying to secure his affections. But there are consequences to sex. And one of those consequences is a baby. Bristol Palin got pregnant, and now her boyfriend won't marry her. I don't know the details of the circumstance, but I can pretty much guess. He was in it for the fun, not the responsibility. And all of a sudden, when his cute little girlfriend got pregnant and had a baby to take care of, he became disinterested. Let me say this to everyone who dates, okay? All the singles in here, all of you that date. You may see someone that looks good to you, but God doesn't look on the outside. He looks at the heart. And if you'll be patient and prayerful, he'll tell you the difference between the annuals and the perennials. And everyone who dates, you need to say this prayer. God, I don't want it to last very long, but send enough winter time into this relationship to tell me if this is an annual or a perennial. Show me their heart. I don't want to build my life around an annual. I want a perennial. And every parent in here, and some hairy-legged boy shows up on your porch wanting to date your daughter, you pray this prayer, God, kill him. If he's an annual, kill him. Get him out of here. But if he's a perennial, reveal his heart because we don't want our daughter locking up with some no-good man. Oh, we think we know. We think we know who our next business partner ought to be because they look good and they talk good and they have money. But God knows the perennials. Oh, we think we know. And so we go out and we start gathering all the people. And you know something? When you got money in your pocket and you're good looking and everything, everybody wants to be your friend. But when wintertime hits, that's when you find out who your real friends are. In the summer, everything looks good. But in the wintertime is when you watch people. When bad times hit, you watch people. The first winter times of my life, I grieved almost to death because of the relationships that I lost. Of people that I thought were my friends that weren't. It almost killed me. I had told my most intimate secrets of my life. I had allowed people to come close into my life for different reasons when I was younger in the Lord. And then when difficult times came, some of those people either left or betrayed me. Or stuck a knife in my back, or all the above. And I grieved, and I grieved, and I grieved until I got one of those little God speeches that I gave you. And the little God speech goes like this. Honey, listen. Not every person that walks up smiling is your friend. And I want you to love everybody, Jimmy, but I want you to be wise about who you allow close in your life. And if you'll be patient, and not make decisions by your flesh, I'll send a little blast of winter and I'll show you people's hearts. Now today I've got friends. And let me tell you how I know my friends. We've been through winters together. We've been through winters together. Let me tell you, when you have real friends, when you're going through a tough time, they get closer, not further away. When you have people in your life, that are perennials, they stick closer than a brother. And all of us need dependable people in our lives. And when you have a winter blast into your marriage, it's not for the sake of splitting your marriage up, but sometimes it's for the sake of letting you know you've got an annual commitment and not a perennial commitment. You need to be there to stay. Number three, beauty of spiritual winter is it forces you to expand your wardrobe or suffer and risk possible death. Let me just say this. It's a very simple statement, but winter is really brutal on naked people. When winter comes, I'm ready for summer. Anybody ready for summer? I get tired of winter, and I'm kind of a summer kind of a person because I like wearing my Bermuda shorts, you know, and my Tommy Bahama shirt and all that, my sandals. I know it's kind of hard to see me in that light, but anyway, I do. But I like that. But let me tell you something. When winter hits, you got to put your clothes on or you're going to suffer. Well, spiritually, when spiritual winter hits, a lot of times it's just because we're not wearing our spiritual clothes. And God is just saying, you need to put some clothes on. Number two things I've learned to wear when spiritual winter hits. Number one is the garment of praise. When you start whining and having bad attitudes and sulking around, Isaiah 61:3, to console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, and the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. By the way, you have to put a garment on. And anytime we're depressed or sad or whatever, we have the choice to praise. Psalm 34:1, this is at a low point in King David's life. He said, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. I thought whining in the spirit was my spiritual gift. And I would sit and be praying, and I would just be whining. And the Lord would just show up and say, I want you to praise me.
Well, I don't have anything to praise you about.
Yeah, I do. Number two is the full armor of God. You put on the full armor of God. We get lazy sometimes, and we forget to pray, and that Jesus has given us authority over serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and we can stand up and take authority and live our lives the way we should, but if we will not put on the full armor of God, the enemy is going to box our ears in. Ephesians 6, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against the spiritual host of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. One of the worst spiritual winters I've ever been through in my life, I felt like I was under a spiritual attack, and I was. And one morning I was doing my whining in the spirit routine and just saying, God, please help me. I'm innocent. You know, I need help. And the Lord said, you will fight or you will perish. Just like that, just that clearly. You will fight or you will perish. Jesus said, nothing will by any means harm you if you use the authority he's given you. We have the authority. We have the armor. We have the sword of the Spirit, the breastplate of righteousness. We have everything that we need. But you got to wake up every day and put it on, because we're living in an evil world, ladies and gentlemen. And the devil doesn't take a vacation, and you can't take a vacation from him. He's always around. He's always evil. And we can live in victory, but we got to put on the garment of praise and the full armor of God. And there's one other thing about spiritual winter, and I'm just going to say this, and I'm finished. It sure makes you appreciate summer a whole lot more. And sometimes we take a lot for, in America, we take a lot for granted, don't we? A lot. My dad grew up during the Depression, slept outside on a cot every night of his life growing up, slept with the horses in the wintertime, ate vegetables every day because they couldn't afford meat, and they ate meat once a week. No one in the family had a toothbrush except one girl, his oldest sister, 10 children. Let me just tell you something. At our worst moment right now, we're still very, very blessed. And sometimes God allows a spiritual winter in our life because we become brattish and unthankful. Let me tell you something. When you've been through one or two or three or 18 spiritual winters, when summer comes, you don't take it for granted.
This concludes session one. Please continue with How Winners Think, the next teaching in this series.